Timothy 3:16. Any volunteers? Come on, somebody. 2 Timothy 3:16. Thank you, Beryl. All right, so we've been walking our way through our study on how to study the Bible. And as you can see, Scripture can be applied many different ways. Doctrine. What's the second one? Reproof. Correction. Instruction. That's because this is a living book. Amen. This is God's powerful word. So when we go to study it, we're typically going to study it to get something out of it, specific, but we're going to get more out of it just because we're studying it. So we have a few visitors, so we'll go ahead and do a super quick review. So we're commanded to study the word, amen? Study to show thyself approved unto God. Some of the basic premises that we went over is, number one, you'll never understand all of the Bible, which means never stop studying it. The main theme of the Bible is a king and his kingdom. Over 3,000 times that word shows up in God's word. And we do have the perfect, completed word of God. So when you approach it, that needs to be your attitude. That we're not there to correct it. We're there to learn from it. And maybe it's going to correct us. But don't go with the attitude that if you find something that doesn't agree with you, you want to look for a way to change it. No, maybe you need to change what you believe. And then we talked about all the different references. Remember, we had up here on the table. We want to start with the words and work our way out. So we start with words, and that's where Strong's and dictionaries come in handy. Of course, computer programs are very powerful. Then from there, we go to verses and how TSK was very powerful in giving us cross references. And by the way, that's on the internet now for free. And then we went from there to topics and expands out there more from God to man, finally to commentaries. So you don't start with commentaries and work your way in. You start with the word and you work your way out. Amen? Start with the word and understand the word. So then we talked about the 12 rules of Bible study. Number one, you got to be saved. If you don't get number one right, you might as well not study the word. Amen? Because you don't have the Holy Spirit, which means you're not going to understand it. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Number two, you must come at it with an attitude that you love it and you want something out of it. Number three is context. We talked a long time about understanding what that means. Number four, make sure you know who it was written to. The Jews, the Gentiles, or the Church of God. Number five, which we just reviewed, is that every passage has a doctrinal, historical, inspirational application. So it can be personally speak to you. It has a prophetic meaning, has a historical meaning. Understand what those things are. Number six, God tells us to use creation to better understand himself and things in his word. And we looked at many, many examples where God uses what he's created to teach us. Seven, always compare scripture with scripture. Never just formulate a truth or a doctrine just by looking at one verse, but look at all the verses on that particular thing. And make sure that you look at the whole teaching of Scripture on that topic. Number eight, as and like are two of the most important words when you're studying the Bible. Jesus used them all the time in his parables. And we looked at some many good examples like Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. So there, right there, God tells us, I want you to understand sheep. Because then you'll better understand yourselves. And the more we learned about sheep, the more we learned how terrible we really are. Anyway, very important words. Number nine, the words are the key. So always take it literally when possible. And again, don't try to figure out what it means until you understand what it says. So start with the words. They're pure, as it says in Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. Number 10, the Bible's a picture book. I gave a couple examples here, but then you folks came up with another five or six good examples of how God used pictures in the Old Testament to teach us great truths in the New Testament. And then number 11, there's only one true interpretation, and that's the right one. Amen? No scripture is open to any private interpretation. So if you follow the rules, you will come to the right interpretation. And then number 12, the Bible is divided dispensationally, not chronologically. It's not laid out chronologically. Otherwise, all the prophets would be in with the Samuels and the Kings and the Chronicles where they were written or where they were applied. And so, and even the Psalms as well. And you get to the New Testament, and we go from the transitional book of Acts to the church epistles to the Jewish Christian epistles and so forth. So the Bible wasn't laid out. It is somewhat chronological, but it isn't completely chronological. And there are times when if you get yourself a copy of the chronological Bible, it might help to read through the scriptures now and then that way. Very powerful tool to read through the Old Testament, especially in a chronological Bible, to where all the Psalms are where they belong, where they were written, and all the prophets are where they belong, how they fit in with the history of Israel. So that is that's a review. Any questions before we dive into today's topic? Quick review. All right, so 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And so we're going to look at six different methods of studying Scripture. There's probably 1,000. So we're only just introducing some. There's never a wrong way. The point is to study it. Amen? Just study, study, study. But we're going to look at a passage method. We're going to look at the chapter method, topical method, character trait method, biographical, and book survey. Okay? So we'll start with the passage method. First, we'll pray. Let's do that. Thank you, Lord, for your word and the privilege of having a copy of it and how it's led us to you. And we're grateful for the privilege to be able to study it. And as we do, may you grow us. Now guide us in your truth as we look at ways of studying Scripture. We ask for you to meet with us now in Christ's name. Amen. So the simplest and probably best way to start is to just a passage. To get a passage and to study that passage. You probably got there because there might have been something that led you there. Either you got challenged by a cult at the door and you didn't really understand it as well as you thought. Or maybe you've got a personal area in your life that is your besetting sin and you want to study better. Whatever, you are at a passage and so now you want to better grasp that passage. So, here's some suggestions, and then we're going to go through it together as a group real quick. So you read through it many times. Now, number one is what? Context. Context. So what does that mean? When it comes to choosing the passage, what do I mean when I say context? Help me out. What's that? Before and after. Before and after, and make sure that you get the whole package, right? That you don't pick a passage where some verses above it or verses below it go with it, but you just skip those. You can't do that. It's a passage. God put it there. And in the manuscripts and even in the King James Bible, you'll see there's indentations. And those are there to say that it's a new topic now or a new thought. So make sure you get the whole passage. Then you read through it many times. And as you go through, different things are going to jump out at you, so you're going to highlight different words and phrases that speak to you. And as you do that, then you stop and you focus on each of those. Understand what those words are. You might use the Strong's Greek or the Hebrew to give you more understanding, because remember, like we saw, when you do that, then you can see other places where that Greek or Hebrew word is used and how it's other ways it's translated into English, and it gives you more understanding, more depth of the meaning of that word. And then go into some cross-references. And that's where TSK can really help you. So while we're talking about TSK, let's just pull it up here real quick. So, like I say, it's free on the internet. And you can, at any time, just grab it. It's that big, thick blue book that was up here on the table. If you've ever had one, you know that's one heavy book. So what this man did over the course of like 10 years is go through the entire Bible and try to find the cross-references for every little piece of every verse. So it's not by verse, it's by piece of verse. Okay? And you pick a verse. Somebody give me a verse. Just throw one out there. Come on. John 3:16. Good. We all know that verse. So John 3. So I'm on the internet right now. You can do this on your own computer. So there you see he's got the verse broken down. The red means is each piece that he chose to give cross references for. So it starts off, for God so loved. Then he gave cross references for that he gave, and then he gave cross references for that whosoever. Okay? So for God so loved, here are the cross references. Just the references, but what's really nice about this internet tool is they're also over here on the right-hand side. They're already listed out for you. So you don't have to go look each one up. It's there. So notice here is God verses that cross-reference with God so loved. All these verses here. Then here are the verses that he gave, cross-references for that. And then here are the verses about whosoever. Now, it's not exhaustive, but it's a starting point. Okay? A man did it, which means it's not perfect, but it's something to start with. So you can see the power of that in quickly finding cross references. Now, in most Bibles, you have your center reference and you have a couple of little cross references. This is a lot more than that. This gives you a lot more cross references. And when you pick verses that have a lot of doctrine in them, you'll notice that they're jam-packed. I'll pick like Isaiah 9:6, which is my favorite verse for Jehovah's Witness. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. One verse. Look how many red sections there are. Each one of those red sections is a separate piece where he gave cross-references. If you look over here, look how many cross-references there are on the right-hand side. For just Isaiah 9:6. That's a lot of verses. So it can save you some time in finding cross references about a particular topic. Or verse, I mean. Okay, so that would be the next step. Where were we? Good. And then, as you go through the passage and you've expounded for yourself on the different words and phrases of that passage, what's going to happen for you is an outline is going to begin to form. Okay? Maybe three or four primary topics within that passage are going to jump out at you, and you're going to form a little outline. And then as you begin to understand that outline, you're going to be able to formulate your own personal title for that passage. And then I always like to ask myself the question at the end, is there a verse in that passage that really speaks to me? Do I need to add it to my memory verse list and make it part of my memory verses so it's part of my what's in my heart? So any questions about that, how that works? Very simple. It's not complicated. But the key is to just do it. Amen? Just start studying. So what I'd like to do, I was going to start from scratch, but I think that might take a while. No, we will. We'll start from scratch. Why not? We have time. Okay. So we want to pick a passage on anything. Whoever speaks first. Trust? Good. Okay, what's a good passage to start with? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 probably jumped into a lot of people's minds, right? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine understanding. Any other passages jump out? If we're going to do a passage on trust? Isaiah 26:4, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Anything else? Trust, trust, trust. Come on. Okay, is it all right if we do Proverbs 3, 5, 6? I mean, I know it's a passage that we all know quite well, but it'll just show you how this works. So, what you do then is you get your verse in your Bible program. Hopefully you have one. If you don't, have a Bible program. I'm sorry for you. But what you can do is there's also a site on the internet that you can use. Or many sites, actually, that give you the actual text of the King James strictly for the purpose of cutting and pasting. And what's nice about it is it doesn't have all those little paragraph things that throw you off when you stick it into your word processor. So I could just as easily go in here and go to Proverbs 1 through 16, scroll down to Proverbs 3, and grab verses 5 and 6. Or, actually, let's not do that. Let's ask ourselves, do we want more than just 5 and 6? We want the context. Now, Proverbs, typically the contexts are pretty tiny little packets, aren't they? More than just about any other book. But what about number 7? Does that fit? Should we include 7 if we're going to get the context? Come on, don't be afraid to say yes or no. I would say yes. For those that said yes, we'll just say yes. Okay, so we'll do the 3 verses for our passage. And I'm going to go ahead and get rid of this and put it in. See how that cuts and pastes nice and cleanly when you use the one off the internet? All right, so we've got 3 verses we're going to study. Proverbs chapter 3, 5, 6, and 7. All right, now, what we do is we would typically read through the passage a few times just to get it into our hearts, but we're not going to do that this morning because we don't want to use up the time. But then we begin to focus in on key sections of the passage or words or phrases, okay? So where do we start? You think the word trust is a key? I would say yes. Okay, after that, what's another key? Keep going. Lord, good. Okay, keep going. All, the word all or all thine heart? Go ahead, Dylan. All thine heart, okay. So we'll grab that one. Very good. What else? Okay, lean not. Or should we just do the whole thing? Because lean not doesn't say a lot by itself, does it? All right. In all thy ways acknowledge him. So all thy ways, would that be worth highlighting, you reckon? Okay. Acknowledge him. Okay. And what? He shall direct thy paths. Very good. You guys are doing so good at this. Wise in thine own eyes. We definitely got to talk about that. And fear the Lord. Look at that. And depart from evil. So, now we have highlighted some key phrases and words. Now, what you can do then is you're going to turn each one into its own little Bible study. Okay? So you see what we did there? We took each phrase or each word that we felt was a key word or phrase, we gave it its own line. So now we're going to study each of those by themselves. That's why it's nice to break them out like that. And so what we would do is we would take the word trust and we would do a study on the word trust and find cross-references about trust. Maybe even for our own benefit, we would go to our Bible program and we would look up the word trust in the Hebrew, just like that. See how easy that was? Just a little click. And we'd have a look at it. It says, properly to hide for refuge. And then we can scroll on down and see how it was translated in the English in the AV, which is authorized version, by the way. Trust, confidence, secure, confident. But notice, 103 out of 120 is trust. So it's pretty much trust, right? But we can gain from this, we can say, to have confidence in, to be bold, to be secure. So it might give us a little bit more insight into what that Hebrew word was. Sometimes it doesn't add a lot. Sometimes it can add a whole lot. Just depends. But then what we can do is say, well, are there any verses, other verses? How about Isaiah 26:4? Boy, that's a good verse. Somebody brought that up. Was it you? Yep. can you think of any other verses that really jump out when you're thinking about the word trust? Anybody? While you're thinking it, I'll pull in Isaiah 26:4. Beryl. Good. We'll put it in there. Thirty-seven, 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So as you can see, this exercise isn't something that's going to just take 5 minutes. If you make each word and each phrase in your passage that you've chosen for context its own little Bible study, it's going to take some work. And there's plenty of other verses that we could add in there, right? We could go on all day. Now, the word Lord, when it's in all caps, what is that? With Jehovah, exactly. Let's go back to it. Oops, not Psalms, Proverbs. Lord. And there it is, Yahweh. Self-existent or eternal name of God. How deep you want to go there is up to you, but you could spend the next 2 years doing that study. but you see what you do, and then you formulate a study on each passage, each word or each phrase in the passage that's speaking to you. And when you're finished, and it takes time, that's why we can't get it all done this morning, but you can see you're going to find cross-references for every one of these that add meaning to what it's saying. Then the next step is you try to pull out the major subpoints of the passage so that you can start formulating yourself your own outline. Okay? And everybody's going to look at it differently, and that's okay, because it's God's word and it's a living book. And this isn't a right or wrong thing. You're not retranslating this. All you're doing is making it speak to you. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, right? So you would formulate your own outline. Trust might be part of it. And I'm just throwing stuff out there because we're kind of moving fast. So trust is definitely going to be part of your outline. Probably all your heart. That's pretty key, isn't it? So that's probably going to be part of your outline. Or maybe not. Maybe just trust with all your heart is a single point. But then lean not unto thine own is definitely going to be part of your outline. The contrast of trusting the Lord with all your heart. And then he'll direct your paths. And so you're going to come up with your own little outline. And then reshape it that way in your study. Okay? And when you're finished, you're going to come up with your own title for Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. What it means to you. What is your title for that passage? Anybody have any ideas what the title could be? I know we went too fast to really get in depth all the phrases, but what would be a good title? Don't be afraid. Some of you have thought of something. The title doesn't have to come from the passage, although it can, but it can be something you could say like My Ways versus God's Ways, or it's whatever you want it to be, but pick a title for it. Have you ever read through like a topical Bible and each section they give a little title to it? Those titles aren't inspired. Some person came up with those. Yeah. See, there, somebody gave us a title. Wants to? Is that? My or your? My paths or your paths? Our paths? And see, that's where I would put my paths, because this is my Bible study. I'm not studying it for Mark Zeus, I'm studying it for me. You understand? So how God wants to direct my paths. This is a title that, you know, and it is Brad, so we'll give him a break for that. But does anybody else have any ideas for a title? Thank you, Brad, for speaking up. So do you see how this works? It's not that complicated, but it's worth it. Now, if you go through and you find cross-references for every single one of these subpoints, all the way down through, and then you formulate your own outline once you're happy that you have a good understanding of every word and every phrase in the passage, from there, then you develop your title. And now this passage, the next time you read it, it's going to speak to you a lot louder than the last time you read it, because you've studied it. And now it's in you. And that last question, should I memorize part of this passage? Well, that's a given, isn't it? We should all know at least 5 and 6 by heart. Otherwise, just get out of the room. So that's just a given, right? That we all should know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. But the point is, it's about you studying God's Word. Amen? So that's one method. Any questions, comments about that method? And I know we moved very quickly.
Yeah, the method of doing that method there, you also unearth other hidden passages you wouldn't normally do when you're searching.
Always.
If you might want to look at that later on.
Exactly.
You say, well, it's even better.
And it could turn into, it'll turn into other studies. That's right. Even just the Lord, you might say, wow, that's so deep. Someday I am going to do a study on Jehovah or Yahweh. I'm just actually going to study it. How many times was it translated Jehovah in the English Bible? I want to find that out. Anybody know? 4. That's it. All other times it's translated Lord. Did you notice it has no vowels? You could study that. Why does it have no vowels? You could just do a whole in-depth study on that word. The word that the Jews wouldn't pronounce. They refused to say it. And they would wash their hands before they wrote it. Anyway, you could do a study on just that word, on that name of God. So that is our first method. Passage. Pick a passage and just dig. And take your time. Take a week. Take 2 weeks. You don't have to. There's no time limit. It's not that you have to finish that passage today. Work on it. Keep at it. And until you're happy that you have dug and dug and dug, and you have a good understanding of what that passage is trying to teach and what it's especially trying to say to you, and you've drawn that out for yourself. So any questions or comments about the passage?